This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, Australia's only LGBTI program focused on the horror and sci-fi community.
Warning, warning, this is an official warning. The health service recommends you turn off your radio now. This program is not good for you. It will fry your brain.
It will cause lasting insanity.
Oh God! You have been warned.
We'll be right back. welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9. Thanks again to, of course, the Sound Museum. Everybody there, a crowded house, almost, you could say. And, of course, also want to acknowledge it is NAIDOC Week here in Australia. And I'd like to show respect and acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land, of elders past and present, on which this broadcast takes place. I'd like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people, who are the traditional custodians of this land. I'd also like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, of the Kulin Nation, and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians that are listening, to the Wurrung people, to the Bunurong people, the Wafirong people, and the Tangurong people, and the Jajarung Jara people. And of course, if you want to hear more, some Indigenous content that we have here on Joy 94.9, certainly tune in Wednesdays at 10 p.m. That's 10 o'clock for some at night here, AEST time, for Indigenous music, interviews and more, and storytelling with Andy and Suri. That's 10 o'clock, black, white and rainbow here on Joy. So yes, it is quite an interesting week. A lot has happened this week already. And in the background, you can hear a little bit of Future Shock, Orson Welles, the TV episode and show that played back in 1970 to announce to the world the present, the past and the future. And Alvin Toffler, who sadly is no more. Alvin Toffler wrote Future Shock. And according to the Huffington Post, he was a man who saw the future before it arrived. How about that? That's quite a lot of mana, quite a mantle to, you know, to live up to. Noted futurist, passed away at the age of 87 just this last week. Future Shock was produced or published back in 1970. And the third wave, of course, very famously in 1980. Lots of changes in those in that decade. And, of course, Heidi Toffler is his partner in crime, one could say. Now, she contributed to the books as well, but she doesn't get as much note of that. More of a footnote, which is a bit sad. But I guess the legacy of Toffler, known as Toffler Associates, is basically their keen insight into, you know, civilization and society and how technology and how much change was happening as a futurist in the modern era, looking at everything from what connections with computers and telephones could lead to, television itself, and what that meant for business and basically global politics. So, you know, very interesting. And also he saw sci-fi, science fiction writing as something that was also very important, and believed it was a great way to introduce new ideas to do with the future. Now, the future is present, so we will certainly acknowledge the great, remarkable contribution that the Tofflers made, and may Alvin Toffler rest in peace. So, now I do have in the studio someone who's just told me he hasn't read Future Shock at all, but that's okay, because, you know, I'm glad that you're here and the future is here with us now. And it's Hayden Clem from the Melbourne LGBT comic book group.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I got it right.
Thanks for having me back.
Actually, I got the wrong mic.
Oh, there, thanks for having me back.
Thanks, Hayden. Did I get it right?
Yeah, you got it right.
The right mic on. Yeah, I'm really concentrating tonight. Focus on you. Yeah, so tell us, for those who don't know, the uninitiated, what the Melbourne LGBT comic book group is.
So we're a social group. Mm-hmm. We hold monthly meetings at Hares and Hyenas, mm-hmm. which is one of our great sponsors. We meet up. We have a book of the month that we come and talk about, you mm-hmm. always containing at least queer characters, if not queer subtext. We also have started having a general discussion table for people who just want to come and talk about the latest movies or TV shows that are out now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a nice place for people to meet up, learn about comics, read new comics, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I believe you had your, you didn't even have your anniversary, did you? Yeah.
It passed by and we didn't even notice.
May the 25th, yes.
Yeah,
I think I remember it quite well.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't go.
We had a very big first meeting. It's been good.
Yeah, it's taken a while, but it's certainly, yeah, look, you've gone from strength to strength. I think you're being packed out the first few ones, if
yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, yeah. We get a lot of interest, and depending on the book, we get quite a few down, mm-hmm. usually between 20 to 30. which is quite nice and manageable when you're trying to help lead discussion, I guess.
Yeah. Hares and hyenas do a great job at providing, you know, a venue to do that.
They do.
Pretty central too, Collingwood, Fitzroy.
It works well. It's a great space just for the community in general, a very good safe space that everyone feels very comfortable in, I find. The guys there are always amazing and so helpful and so supportive of the group and anybody who's...
And, like, do they order comics in for people too, like up on their shelves after the meetup?
Yeah, so they always have copies of the book that we're reading and the book of the next month. So they... And they're building their library of comics, basically, which is
thanks
pretty...
Thanks to you.
Yeah, they're really enjoying it.
So, yeah, cool. Well, yeah, look, a lot of change in the geekverse and for queer geeks as well. It's been an interesting year or two.
Yeah, definitely.
Seen it develop.
Yeah.
And the times that you've been on air. So for those who don't recognise Hayden, they have got a Facebook page. Have you got a blog or Tumblr?
No, we don't. We're about thinking about getting like a Instagram or a Twitter, but... I don't know.
It's
so much work.
It is so much work. Look what happens to people. They end up like me.
I feel like I'm like on different things. And
different platforms.
Different platforms.
Yeah, it's future shock. Yeah. We live in it. Thanks to the Tofflers, we're you know, that's it. Because they talk about, in the book, Future Shock, they talk about the anxiety of modernity and the anxiety of things like...
Picked that, didn't they?
You could pick that, yeah. And how everything is online. They actually, before computers, they talked about personal computers before it happened.
Okay.
And it was actually... they were very influential on IBM and Apple, of course, followed a lot of what they said. And, you know, it might seem a bit daggy today, but at the time people were quite concerned about... robots and machinery taking over jobs and things like that. So, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to talk a bit more about that very soon here on Sci-Fi and Scream. If you have a message for Hayden, or we'll talk about some of the comics that he recommends and, you know, books and comics they've already looked at, 0427JOY949, or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy.
Hey, this is Matt from Astron 6, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
I'm a late boy. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Oh.
This is Owen Pallett, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
This is Ashley C. Williams, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Matt Kennedy. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Enjoy it.
Future Shock. Temporary body parts, products of bioengineering with the ultimate potential of building modular bodies, much as we now build modular homes. Research prosthetist John Bray.
I'm holding in my hand a prosthetic device for a below-the-elbow amputation. And this is a very highly sophisticated unit. It has... electronic device controlled through energy cells, and by placing the transducers over the musculature, we are able to send messages through the electronic system which operates the hand. In effect, it's actually responding to the motor control of the patient who wears it. In fact, at this time, there is hardly any part of the human body, and especially in the extremities, that we cannot replace.
An artificial elbow. One more step toward an artificial man. Joints, bone sockets, sometimes better than the original. Replacing inner bones as plastic surgery replaces the outer skin. Machines like these can see, hear, touch, smell. They can solve problems that would normally require human intelligence. Like simple living organisms, they respond to changes around them and act accordingly. We might one day duplicate man, his form, his body,
his actions and reactions, carefully engineered for lifelike appearance. A diaphragm. A chest. A simulated breathing human being. The pressure of fast change forces us to question all we have been taught. Sometimes technology can destroy. When will the next nuclear blast occur? And what will it do to us? Escape from change in today's society becomes more and more impossible. Change is necessary, but change itself is out of control. That is the challenge posed by future shock. To look deeply and clearly into today's world, to understand the consequences that what we do today determines what tomorrow will be.
Hi, this is Essie Davis from the Babadook, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Bam! Bam! Fwack! Fwack! Pow! Pow! Shlash! Shlash! Kapow! 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 Shuck! Shuck! Fwack! Fwack! Shlash!
Sci-Fi and Scream presents the Melbourne LGBT Comic Book Group. The Melbourne LGBT Comic Book Group is an inclusive and friendly group for LGBTIQ people and those allies who love comics. Come along to our monthly meetings to talk about comics and make new friends. Go to facebook.com/Melbourne LGBT Comic Book Group/info. That's you.
Yeah,
that's you, Hayden.
Yeah.
Hayden Clem, you're on air.
Excellent.
On Sci-Fi and Scream.
Well, I guess I haven't been on for a while, so yeah. I wanted to cover a few of the books that we've been discussing over the last couple of months.
Mm.
So we've had time to do both Fun Home and Are You My Mother by Alison Bechdel. Fun Home's, I consider it like a seminal gay comic. Mm. It's Alison's autobiographical memoir about her growing up and discovering her own sexuality. She's a lesbian, but also then kind of balancing that with the idea that her father was a closeted, at least bisexual man, and how those two sexualities and the way that they were hiding them and trying to work things out kind of conflicted, and kind of there was the friction between them because of it. Mm. But it's a really beautiful book. It's recently been adapted into a Broadway play, which is totally not what musical. Totally not what I thought it was going to be adapted into.
I know, it's crazy.
And it won lots of Tonys.
Yeah. Won Best Musical Tony Award for 2015, and she is obviously Alison Bechdel, or the Bechdel test, that is used a lot, well, should be used a lot more, but used a lot to distinguish, I guess, how many women are involved in things like Hollywood movies.
Whether there's good women represented.
At least two women have to talk to each other in a film other than anything about a man. That doesn't happen a lot in films even today. So it's to counter a lot of the misogyny and sexism in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. Yeah,
carry on.
That's one of her...
one of the things that she's been involved
well
with.
Known for. Mm. And, then we also got to discuss Are You My Mother, which is... it's best probably described as a companion piece to Fun Home. It more tracks her relationship with her mother, psychoanalysis, to try and decipher that, basically. as well as the artistic process in creating Fun Home, your first book, and kind of using a lot of literary things like Virginia Woolf and going back to like A Room of One's Own, and I think Adrienne Rich, who I think wrote Feminine Mystique, talking about that idea of like a female and the ethics of writing memoirs and autobiographical texts, which is really interesting. Those two, because they're a lot deeper, we had a lot of the discussion got quite not serious, that's not the best word, very sincere and quite personal, which was something new for the group, but it was really it was a really great experience to be a part of, especially Fun Home. People had a lot of the way that they interacted with the book and the take homes that they had from it was really interesting to learn. And then to go on a completely different tangent, we had Virgil, which is best described as queersploitation, written by Steve Orlando. It's about a gay man in Jamaica who is a cop, and his buddies find out and come and kill all his friends and take his lover hostage. And then he goes on to steal a line from Quentin Tarantino, a roaring rampage of revenge, to get back at these people. It's a, like, there's not a lot of meat to it, or there's not a lot of depth, but it's really cool to see, you know, this black gay man kicking ass and taking
names.
What's it called?
Virgil.
Just Virgil. Yeah, Virgil. And we actually got to do an interview with Steve Orlando, the writer, who's also a gay man.
Is he a man of colour too? Is he black?
He's not black. I'm not sure what he is.
Is he Hispanic?
I don't know, actually. I should have asked him. But, yeah, he spent a lot of time in Russia and got to see how things played out there. He didn't have any hands-on experience in Jamaica, but he was in contact with people. And, you know, they read the text and gave their feedback and stuff like that. And I don't know, I guess with the books that we've done, we've really tried to cover what is a comic, what different ways that people are using comics to tell queer stories. So another comic we did was Nimona, which is a bit more of a... It's a weird mashup of, like, sci-fi and medieval, and it's about this... It's about this villain called Blackheart, and he's kind of, you know, he's always got his nemesis, Golden Loin.
Golden Loin.
They're actually the subtext, or it doesn't really become subtext. Well, there's subtext until the end when it's basically confirmed, but there are a couple, a lot of, like, issues with them being able to express their love. And that was a great book. Then we did V for Vendetta, which to me is another, just a seminal comics text. So we kind of discuss that in the way...
What's the queerness in that?
So there's this really...
Alan Moore,
V for Vendetta. So there's more subtext, but there's this one character called Valerie where... the character of V and her were in a concentration camp together, and she writes him a little note which kind of tells him her story about how she was gay, parents didn't accept her, she became a bit of a movie star, and then the change in government happened and there was the clampdown on homosexuals and she got thrown in the camp. And it's one of the main what's the word I'm trying to think of, it's the one thing that really drives V, that her story, and she describes this, an inch, that's the only thing that you have.
The movie version I don't think is clear, and they sort of washed over that. It was very disappointing. I'm not a fan of a lot of Alan Moore's
adaptations. Yeah, neither is he. Unfortunately.
Yes. Well, he's an interesting man. Yeah. Deep genius mind, really. Yeah, but not happy with a lot of the so far.
Yeah, because I, to be honest, I finished rereading the book, and then I immediately watched the film, and I shouldn't have done that. Because although it somewhat captures the idea of the book, it doesn't fully translate it. And, you know, we discussed this at the group, the fact that it was made post 9/11 in Bush era politics, and that kind of changed the way that the filmmakers told the story, rather than it being a direct adaptation and more looking at the time that it was written in, which was Thatcher England and AIDS epidemic and all that kind of stuff going on. And something we discussed, like, is this text still relevant today, or has the world changed so much that it's
I think for Britain, we're certainly heading back to that Brexit.
We read it, we came and discussed it the week after Brexit, so it felt very
poignant. It's very raw. Yeah. And this is the thing. Things that happen in Britain do happen in cycles. I guess as the cycles start to get closer and closer together, they touch each other, and it can lead to all sorts of very interesting and at the same time really damaging and horrible things. And we're seeing that now. I think it's quite a dangerous country.
Yeah.
Probably for queer people to visit, people of colour, and people who are asylum seekers or refugees. It's not the best right now. So it'll be interesting to find out what happens. I would love to see Alan Moore write something about this time.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see. Yeah, sort of a V for Vendetta that's set in this time that is a bit more representative of what we're going through now.
Yeah. Dare we say a word like that? Sequel?
Sequel, yeah, maybe.
Well, speaking of sequels, look, we do have to carry on here on Sci-Fi and Scream, because there is a lot more to talk about on tonight's show. I also have an interview, which is a nice, fairly sizable chunk of an interview I had with Ivan Sen, film director, and the actor that he likes to have in his films.
Aaron Peterson.
And he's just beautiful, and they're both wonderful. Yep. And they were in the studio last week, so I do have a pre-record with that. Excellent. Sorry, Hayden.
No, that's fine.
But Hayden, out of all of those different comic books you have looked at, what's been the one that, I guess, has brought the most, you know, joy and excitement for those who turn up to the meetings for the Melbourne LGBT comic book group?
Joy and excitement, I would have to say Nimona.
Nimona, yeah. Okay.
It's a lot. It's a bit more of a lighter tale compared to Fun Home and Are You My Mother and Viva Vendetta. But
I'll have to put that up on the Facebook page as well.
Nimona. Yeah.
Soon. All right, this is Sci-Fi and Scream. Don't go away. Stay with us here on Joy. Don't forget to message us 0427-JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. We also have the Twitterverse. We've got Queer Geeks of Oz, so just at Queer Geeks of Oz. We have had a message, actually, fabulous message from Andy.
Oh.
Yay, Andy Morwell. He says, "Hi, Hayden and Sonia. Andy streaming live here in Morwell." That sounds cool.
Yeah.
"I love the Melbourne LGBT comic book group. It's allowed me to read books I would never have otherwise, and there's nothing quite like a room full of comic book geeks."
Yeah.
"I agree. We agree." And he's pretty sure Steve Orlando is Jewish.
That's right. Yeah.
Cool. Excellent. Right. And that was Andy.
Yeah.
There's a question mark, Morwell. Are you in Morwell, Andy? You're not sure. No. I know he's a bit of a regular.
He's one of our regulars.
He's a very good dude.
And he's really enjoyed.
He's very passionate.
Diversifying his reads, which is great.
Yeah. I know. Good to see. Hi, Andy. We love you.
Yeah.
He's our comic book hero. Better podcast again soon, Andy.
Behind
it's been ages. Behind the mask, that's right. You see, Hayden, you know more than me. For God's sake. This is Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. Thank you.
Hi, and welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream on 95.9. My name is Niggles Winding Refn, and this is one of my favorite shows.
This is Dante Bosco, the one-time leader of the Lost Boys and the Prince of the Fire Nation, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
You might want to know, a stranger blew into town last night. A detective.
What's he doing here?
Not too sure yet.
We'll find out. Civilized to one another, but you and I both know things are going to change sooner or later, because that's how life is, Jay.
Sonia for Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9, and it's arriving July the 7th. It's going to be playing at quite a few really good selected cinemas around Melbourne and hopefully around the rest of Australia and then the world. It kicked off the Sydney Film Festival, which was back in, well, June the 8th to the 19th that ran, and it's Goldstone. I'm with Ivan Sen and Aaron Peterson. Welcome.
Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you.
It was a long intro, sorry.
No, you're...
How did it go at Sydney? Because that was that the first screening of it?
Yeah, very first screening. I mean, there's only a handful of people who usually see my films before the official screening, so it was great to finally get an audience reaction to the film in such a big one.
Yeah, you know, it's a good festival.
Such a big room there, so yeah, it was a very positive response. Yeah.
Very
red carpet was okay.
Oh, look at you! It's all the hoopla, part of the job. But I think the great thing about it is just giving the film the best chance it can have. You know, if you're going to release it to the general public. So there's great support there from Nashim Midley, and he's always been a fan of Ivan's. Followed him since the Tumula days and Beneath Clouds and stuff. So you know, there's some great people on board that, you know, see the importance of this film being very Australian, with its content and its conversation and the people in it. So, you know, we love that because that's what we make it for.
Yeah, so the question is, I guess, look, what is the film about for those who don't know too much about it? It's described as a thriller / noir.
Well, it's a thriller western, and it's about this Indigenous detective who arrives in a frontier mining town on a missing persons light duties case, but he has to connect with the local young white policeman out there, and they have to kind of bury their differences. And as they solve this case, they start to uncover a web of corruption and murder, and which also involves human trafficking at the same time.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting, got a different type of cross-cultural feel in this one, I think, perhaps more than previous.
Yeah, yeah.
Mystery Road, of course, where we first see Jay Swan. Yeah. I'm pointing at Aaron Peterson. Aaron. No one can see this now. I'm going Jay Swan.
Yeah. Yeah, doing a follow-up to Mystery Road, it was important not to repeat ourselves and to go into different territory, not only with the story, but also with him and the place, his internal space as well. In this, he's in a lot darker place in this film. And the film is as much about how all these cultural, the cultural boundaries kind of dissolve and clash because of the nature of who he is, someone who walks between boundaries and forces them to actually confront each other. And, yeah, so we really, really wanted to open up the world and, you know, the whole thing of the mining industry and the corruption involved within that, and also Aboriginal land councils and local government, and how that impacts upon the minorities who are on the fringes of the mainstream culture.
Yeah, you get the picture, you get that idea across, I think, really well, but also selectively. Like, I think if you're an outsider, it would be a really interesting introduction to Australian politics and to Australian culture today as it stands.
Yeah, and in many ways it's no different to what it was 200 years ago at the same time, you know.
Spooky. Without the technology, that's the only difference.
Yeah,
I guess.
And I hint at that at the beginning of the film, which you can see as a over the opening credit sequence. Yeah.
Yeah, incredible. Very powerful. You've used landscape, which you do a lot in your movies. Landscape again is really important, and it's almost like a journey coming home for Jay Swan, the character Jay Swan. Now, for you, Aaron, what sort of what did you have to evoke for the character?
Oh, look, I think, you know, the two worlds thing is it exists today. You know, it's a personal journey for all Indigenous people to be able to walk in those worlds and by yourself with two different sets of protocols and responsibilities and all that stuff. So, I mean, the fine line is very fine. It's not like it's unfamiliar to me. It's not like I have to do a hell of a lot of research and stuff. I mean, the life lived is where all that gravitas and the information comes from, you know. And and looking, you know, the challenges as an actor is, you know, you want to keep it interesting. I mean, Ivan challenged himself as a filmmaker with all the elements that, you know, he had to weave together. And as an actor, you know, there's a simple thing. You can either walk through it or you put your heart and soul into it. So I chose to put my heart and soul into it, and a lot of that stuff just comes from, it's more, you know, it's recalling on ancestral stuff. It's to do with a lot of the atrocities that are taking place in this country. So Jay, you know, emerged being affected by life, you know, and in turn that allows the human journey to begin rather than being the bulletproof hero again, you know. Like, I mean, he did a great job in Mystery Road, but this one was more about, okay, life has, you know, unfolded in between the 3 years or whatever it was since we did the last one, and we see that from the outset.
Yeah, it's sort of polarising, and also you get to, well, without spoiling it too much for those who haven't seen it, it is almost a coming home and identity.
Yeah, it is.
He finds out something about himself.
By chance.
Yeah.
You know, he happens to get called up on a job into this particular country, and I think it's the country calling him up. And I don't know where this other thing emerges, you know, which is how it happens most of the time.
It's just one day you're walking along the road, and next minute you meet a relative.
That's right.
Or you have a cousin or something. It happens. Life happens when you're not looking, or whatever that cliche is.
When you're not expecting it, yeah.
That's the one. That's the one. And also, yeah, again, landscape comes into it, and that feeling, and
yeah, it's awesome.
Very strong.
I mean, it's a great character, you know. It's the large character. It's all-consuming, and that's what's beautiful about it. It feels like you're acting opposite another. You're getting a performance from the land, without a doubt.
Speaking of land and performing opposite, is it the first time you've worked with the wonderful David Gulpilam?
It's actually the third time.
Okay.
I did Dead Heart with him. It was a very small role. We had a small connection in that. And I did a short film with him called Mimi, which was years ago. He played my grandfather. It was a little bit of a comedic piece by Warwick Thornton. But this is the first time that we're able to engage each other on the same level. And, you know, hats off to Ivan, because he wanted to put three generations of Indigenous actors on screen, Tommy Lewis, myself, Tommy Lewis, and David Gulpilam, which is what you never see, you know, and pays respect and homage to the journey that's taken place, because there is a line there of soldiers or, you know, warriors that are walking through the world and trying to make our stories count and try and make them change the country and change the attitudes of the country. Ivan, that was a little bit of a touch of Midas touch, and total respect to him too for doing it.
A good time for that to happen. Mr. Gulpilam's starting to get old now, and you know, I don't know how many more films he's got left in him, but it's good to do it now while he's actually quite fresh now, and very passionate as well.
Yeah. He looks great in the film.
Yeah.
Looks really good.
He was very happy to make the film, and I remember him at the Sydney Film Festival. He shed a few tears, and he said it was the first time he'd ever cried in one of his films. So that was kind of nice to hear that.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, so Goldstone could be, like you said, the Midas touch. It could be the gold standard, maybe. I mean, this is a career that, I mean, the first time I came across you was in 2002, obviously with Beneath Clouds, and blew me away. Just stunning.
Yeah, I mean, you do learn. You do learn so much each time you make a movie, and you. I don't think I've ever been so passionate as I am now about film and telling stories, and I've never been so into it. And I don't think I've needed it so much on a personal level as well. I need to, and not just writing and directing. It's the music and doing camera work. All of it. I need all of that stuff in my life. And because I need it, I think I give all of myself over to it in a way that I've never done before. And I really feel like going on from Goldstone to, I mean, we may do another Jay Swan film in the future as well, which I think will really, I mean, we try to push all the level of all the elements which make the film up from Mystery Road to Goldstone. I mean, push the envelope and step up. And I think when we go ahead with the next installment, it'll be, I've got a feeling it's not just going to be a normal step, but it's going to be a really big step up. Mm-hmm. And I'm on a, well, Aaron too, I think, you know, we're on this journey of learning, and we're not there yet to the point where we've exhausted what we've got to learn or offer. So, but I just feel the momentum starting to get to the point where we can really, if we really put our hearts and minds into it, we can really give this country something which is going to have extraordinary impact in the future.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I could sense that in the film. You can just get that picture at the end of the film.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more to be said, and especially with this character, he's such a conflicted character, and it's to do with us just learning from experience and moving and actually being open to actually wanting to speak to a wider audience at the same time, and pushing all the elements. I mean, him pushing every part of his performance, and also me just not resting and not giving up.
But it's the music that stays with you as part of the film as well, like those few notes in your film, just keep repeating to me over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is great. I mean, if you want a tagline, maybe it should just be those chords.
Yeah, I mean, music, I think, has been proven to have an incredibly strong memory trigger response within the human brain, and to actually, you know, music is, it cuts through where other you know, forms don't, to trigger memory.
Now, one of the a couple of interesting casting for Goldstone, of course, Pei Pei Sheng as Mrs. Lau. I recognised her as the Jade.
Jade Fox.
Jade Fox from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah, yeah, and she's.
She the real deal.
She is the iconic Chinese actress. You know,
she's cool.
That's hundreds of her, several hundred films, you know, and she's been going for a very long time, since the Shaw Brothers. She was one of the original Shaw Brothers actresses.
Wow.
And you can tell, you know, she was on location, and she just carried herself magnificently, and you can just feel her dance, martial arts training, in the way she moves, and even I think that affects the way she talks as well, just the way she holds herself. And she's just a real trooper.
She didn't do any martial arts though, did she?
Not in this one.
It's the one thing missing.
It's waiting for Jay Swan to break in. A bit of Bruce Lee there.
Nah,
Jay. Or is that in the offshoots, you know?
Jay stayed away from it because he knew she was dangerous.
Yeah.
She knew she was the Jade. What's it again?
Jade Fox.
Jade Fox.
Jay Swan stays away from Jade Fox.
Well, July 7 is the release date. That's true. So we're working towards that. And just hopefully, you know, people get out and support it. Mm. And we do hope that it does have people connect with it, and it does create some kind of dialogue, because you know, that's why we make films. We're obviously not in it for the money, or we'd be both, well, I'd be in Hollywood by now, but or working for a mining company, you know.
Or both.
Yeah, we'll go overseas with it and try to, you know, flog it off overseas and do the usual circuit.
You were saying off air, Toronto, was it?
That's the next one that's in line. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, excellent. Oh, cool.
And there is a, there's a third installment, I think, and it's going to be, you know, it's obviously, we'll be looking at doing something quite different and radical with that, and and there's a story there, there's a structure there, which is very strong and very relevant to what's happening in the country at the moment.
And any message for Indigenous filmmakers who might be thinking of taking the journey and getting a camera and making films, what would you say to them?
I mean, just realise the sacrifice that was made before and consider this a privileged journey and do something about it, you know. I think these mediums we work in, TV, film, theatre, whatever it might be, even print, I mean, we can be a part of the, a part of forcing the change and creating conversations and having conversations with people. We've got to step up. So as filmmakers, you know, just reach for the stars with it, you know, and make it count. There's great things that can be done with this medium. And I'd say, go for it and, you know, dream big, because it's all possible, that's for sure.
Excellent. Thank you, Aaron.
No worries.
Thank you, Ivan. Thank you so much for speaking to us here on Joy 94.9.
Thank you.
It's excellent. And good luck with the film.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. And that was my chat, just a small bite, one could say, of my chat with the wonderful actor Aaron Peterson and the fabulous Ivan Sen, director of Goldstone and Mystery Road, of course, which was the precursor or prequel, I suppose, that came out in 2013. And now this is the kind of sequel, without spoiling it too much, of Goldstone, released this Thursday, July the 7th, at selected cinemas. Do go and see it if you can. I want to thank Transmission Films and Cinema Nova for giving me the opportunity, and Alicia for giving us the opportunity to speak to the two lads there. It was just wonderful to have them in the, I was going to say the office, but the studio, chatting to them. And I'll put the full podcast of Goldstone and Ivan Sen and Aaron Peterson up later on in the week. Just fabulous. And I got goosebumps just thinking about this film. I do hope it does well. It's certainly a great opportunity, a great platform. And being NAIDOC week, it's just perfect to have them and talk to them about this important work when it comes to Indigenous filmmaking in Australia. Yes, Hayden is a bit of a fan of Aaron Peterson, I believe.
Yes, very cute.
He's talented, but he's a very good-looking
man.
He's
a good actor. But
striking.
Easy on the eyes.
Very easy. Yeah. Look, he's been in so much stuff and just goes on. I remember watching Wildside, which is an ABC show back in the 90s, watching that on repeat in the early 2000s and going, yeah, I'm one over. So it was really exciting to have him and Ivan in the studio. And they talked about Beneath Clouds, which came out in 2002, and that's definitely a film of his to watch. It's a very moving, fabulous film. So the time is now, the action is taken, and I do wish them all the best with Goldstone. We also talked about one of the actresses, the Chinese actress that's in there.
Cheng Peipei.
She is extraordinary.
Yes. She was in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. That's what most people will probably know her
as
from.
As the villainous
Jade Fox.
But she's
gotta rewatch
awesome.
That. Yeah.
I love that. I just love that. And the soundtrack is wonderful.
Yeah.
And just to clarify, the soundtrack for Goldstone and for all of Ivan Sen's films are actually done by himself. He composes and plays the music and everything. He's such a talented dude. It's incredible. I made that funny noise. Clayton's got to edit that now. Well, he better. And look, we've had more messages. Well, no, we haven't. Sorry.
We've had some
spam. It was just Andy saying, love you too. Love you too.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Andy. We love you as well as we love you too. So what a week. We've lost a few great ones. Well, we've lost Alvin Toffler and Michael Cimino. That was announced just yesterday. 77, very sad indeed to lose him. One of my favourite directors. He didn't make a lot of films, but when he did, they counted. And he was responsible for the worst, considered one of the biggest flops in Hollywood, and that was Heaven's Gate. But I love it.
Okay.
It's got Kris Kristofferson and John Hurt, you know.
I know John Hurt.
Chris, Doctor Who's dad, you know, so to speak.
John Hurt played Quentin Crisp.
That's right. And The Elephant Man for the for the film production. David Bowie did the theatre stage production for that. Elephant Man back in 1980. Oh, yeah, so really sad to see him go. And, of course, The Deer Hunter. Very, very sad. The Deer Hunter was... Yeah, I think one of the one of the great pieces, great movies from the end of the 70s. Here we are. Here's a little bit of The Deer Hunter. Yeah, the cavatina, I think it's called. John Williams, cavatina.
Oh, John Williams, yeah.
Very famous soundtrack. Will make you cry, this film. Will make you cry. And, of course, who appears in it? Her second movie, I believe.
Meryl.
Our Meryl.
Yeah.
Or Margaret Thatcher, as she's known to some.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen that Instagram?
No.
I think it's called Tastes of Streep or something.
Tastes of Streep.
And it's her edited onto different foods. It's really fun.
I'll have to look that up. I'll that sounds
bizarre.
Check
what it's called.
It's crazy.
All her different...
It's not Lick the Streep.
No. I think it's Taste of Streep. Taste of Streep.
Taste of Streep.
Go check it out.
Oh,
I'll give you a quick look.
Do love
That's her.
With,
in an avocado.
Oh, Streep in an avocado. It's a beautiful thing. Not fussed on Mamma Mia, but hey, you can't have everything in a career like that. But exactly. Adaptation, have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
It's
but I hear she's amazing.
Spike Jones film.
Charlie Kaufman's script,
Yeah, Charlie Kaufman's mind.
It's
not to go there. Let's not go there at all. Inside Charlie Kaufman, no thank you. But yeah, look, so it's been a very tough week or two. You know, Anton Yelchin and, I don't know, I'm getting too sentimental and this music probably isn't helping. But if you haven't seen The Deer Hunter, you should. It's got Robert De Niro. It's got the wonderful Christopher Walken. He doesn't. Oh, he kind of dances in it, kind of. Yeah. It also has the theme of Russian roulette in there as a topic,
right.
And it's pretty harrowing. So that's why I haven't put any of that on Facebook. But anyway, may you rest in peace, Michael Cimino, one of the worst directors of all time. Love his films. Yeah. I don't care what anyone says. He did Year of the Dragon too, which is a crazy.
Okay.
Speaking of martial arts, of course, Mickey Rourke in it.
Okay.
It's a weird little film, but worth watching.
Yeah.
Just because it's an 80s
one of those.
Classic, you know, bad taste, whatever. lots of money, but not a lot going on.
Okay.
But
yeah.
That's okay.
To check it out.
Yeah, it's sort of like Footloose for martial arts mechanics. Yeah, no, don't pay any attention to me. So what happens next for the Melbourne LGBT comic book group?
What's happening in the future? So we've got our next meeting will be Monday the 25th of July. We'll be discussing Giant Days, which is a little ongoing. We'll be discussing the first volume. A little comic about some women at college. One's kind of discovering her sexuality and how... It's also great to see how the friends are so just, like, cool and relaxed and, like, it's not an issue. They're like, oh, my God, you're going to ask that girl out. That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's that nice
like
kind of...
school for me.
Yeah. It's kind of that next stage of coming out in a way. Mm. Yeah. So that's what we're discussing. What else are we doing? We'll be doing a few different kind of things. We are hoping to do sort of a meeting where we just basically talk about the X-Men and how the X-Men are a great allegory for being LGBTIQ. And we're still trying to work out how we're going to run that. But, we'll see.
Cool. Do people get to dress up, maybe?
Yeah, if they want. Yeah,
they want to.
Prizes for cosplay.
And where do people go again? Where's the meeting?
So our meetings are at Hares and Hyenas, the LGBTIQ comic book store... Bookstore in Melbourne. They do have a growing collection of comics, though, just in Johnson Street in Fitzroy. And if you want to find out more, just go to our Facebook page, the Melbourne LGBT Comic Book Group. And if you have any questions, just give us an email.
Cool. Thank you. Well, thank you for coming on. It's just been awesome. I think we'll take it out with, a little bit more Alvin Toffler, or maybe I've got that new Rihanna, Star Trek theme.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I haven't had a chance to listen to it. Isn't it good?
Well, you'll have to decide for yourself. We'll take you out for that. And Colin is up next, behind the curtain, with a bit of the Broadway thing happening. Mm. Mm. And next week we'll be looking at TV with Claytox. He doesn't know it yet. But hi, Clayton, you're coming on air next week. And we'll probably have another interview too. And congratulations to everybody involved in Melbourne Web Fest 2016, to all the winners out there. And thanks to the Melbourne Web Fest for allowing me to interview John Cabrera. He from Gilmore Girls and more, so H+ as well. He did that web series. I know, he's so cool. I'll play that next week. It'll be perfect for our TV special next
week.
The
new season coming out of Gilmore
Girls. The new season, I know. They've done
so
the filming.
Exciting.
He chatted to me about a bit of that. But
we'll have to wait for
next week. There was just not enough time, to be honest. Thanks for coming on, Hayden.
Thank you. Always
good
a pleasure.
Good luck with the comic books.
Thank you. Keeping it queer. Keeping it here.
I don't know. Something
keeping
like
it
that.
In Melbourne.
Keeping it in Melbourne.
Quick on this. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy.
I am letting go. I'm using all my strength to get out of this wound. I hit a wall. I thought that I would hurt myself. Oh, I was sure your words would leave me unconscious. And on the floor, I did like colorless. But I hit a wall. I hit a wall. Watch the fall. You're just another break, and I'm a surgeon. You're just another break, and I'm a sledgehammer.
Yeah, I hit a wall. I prayed that I would make it through. Make it through. I can't survive a life that's without you, that's without you, yeah. And I will rise up from the ashes now, the ashes now. For the sparrow flies with just the crumbs of loving failure. I was bracing for the pain.
A number of years from now, perhaps when a person gets up in the morning and has to take the drug to bring his IQ up to the appropriate level, slap on the battery pack so that whenever he gets depressed, he can press a lever and turn on electrical stimulation, which delights him a little bit, and find then that it's not just that he can do these things, which is enough to understand, but that he does do these things. Not that it's possible to gain control over intellectual functioning, but in fact that we have. And this person then, perhaps an entire society, will be seen as a victim of the success of biotechnology. That is to say that he no longer can exercise the choice to take the drug or put on the battery pack or whatever, But he's lost that choice simply because of the subtle and pervasive increase in the tendency to use it.
Been listening to a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Check out joy.org.au/sci-fi and scream for more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.